Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barton, and she can be reached at 631-862-1402. Tonight's guest is Dr. Stafford Betty, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
And good evening, Fran. Did you see the article in the newspaper 2-3 days ago about several scientists in Italy, I believe it was, that were arrested because they failed to predict the earthquakes that hit the country?
I think I caught a glimpse of it on the internet, but I did not have the moment these days to read it.
That's a tough job being a scientist. I mean, could you imagine that?
Who would want to be a scientist?
I mean, I understand the frustration of the government. You know, they had a lot of damage and they had loss of life and so forth, but to blame it on a scientist.
Wouldn't they rather hire psychics then?
And what do you think? What did they accomplish? Immediately, all the other scientists who weren't arrested, they quit, because who wants that kind of pressure?
Right.
And, I often think of some of the scientists that we deal with that delve into subjects that are, to say the least, controversial amongst their colleagues in the scientific world. And it is a form of bias and persecution in some cases.
Right. I'm sure many of them have thought about throwing in the towel here and there, because it is very difficult to get funding, as we know, for this type of work. And yet the work is so important, and it will change the way the whole world operates.
We, as you briefly mentioned, and in about 5 minutes we'll be introducing our guest, Stafford Betty, and he's going to be talking about a lot of the things that people ask. They listen to mediums and they get evidence of an afterlife, but everybody wants to know, all right, so we've established that there is an afterlife, but what is it like? And what goes on? And do we have clothes? And do we have houses? And do we work? And do we eat? And there is information that has been compiled by people like Dr. Betty, and he's going to be able to give us a pretty good rundown of what he imagines the afterlife is like. You and I, Fran, got into a discussion the other night. I say the other night, was it yesterday? We had an afterlife discussion group, which, by the way, for those of you that are interested, we do have these groups in various areas in the United States.
Right. And even if it's even if we don't have one in your area and you're interested in getting together with like-minded people to discuss these kinds of topics without people looking at you funny, it is a safe place. It's a wonderful group. You could start one in your own area just by going to the website and going to the Afterlife Discussion Group page and filling out an enrollment form. It doesn't cost you anything. And our director of Afterlife Discussion Groups, Donna, will get back to you and let you know if there's a group or if there are other people in the area ready to start a group. If they need a facilitator, maybe you're ready to facilitate, and you will be trained by us in facilitating the group. So we get you all set up, and we feed you all of the information, articles, movies, things that you need to share with the people in your group.
And in these groups, some people like to share personal experiences, which is always interesting. And other people like to discuss a lot of the things that we talk about here. We talk about the afterlife. We talk about near-death experiences. We talk about electronic voice phenomena and ghosts and apparitions and deathbed visions and so forth. So it's an interesting, you know, group, and they're small little groups. So we got into a discussion because one of the parents had lost a child and was trying to find some purpose and meaning, and is battling with that question a lot of us ask, was it meant to be? You know, was my child, was it part of a plan, and was my child supposed to die when he or she did? And that's an interesting discussion, and a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on that. When we get into, it also is tied in with reincarnation. Some would say, well, you chose to come back and incarnate into a specific physical body in a specific circumstance to progress or learn or work on your soul, and that it was predetermined that the length of your physical time. I mean, do you subscribe to that? That the time, the amount of time, the number of
years? I don't so much accept it as an amount of time as much as I do a completion of purpose. So I think once your purpose, once whatever it was, whatever deal you made to achieve in this incarnation is achieved, then you can take whatever next route comes out. So if you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and you meet with your demise, then you are not coming back. If you have not achieved what you came here to achieve and you meet with your demise, you're going to get sent back. So it's more, to me, it's more a matter of, did you finish what you came here to do?
So in the instance of an illness or an accident, and there's life-saving measures,
mm-hmm.
It's not only, in your opinion, medical science that's going to determine whether or not you survive, but on a grander scale, your soul's purpose, whether or not you fulfilled that in this time that you were here.
Right.
Hard concept, certainly open to it.
But I think if you go back to Dr. Bruce Grayson's observation in working with near-death experiencers, in that our problem with accepting a lot of this information is the fact that we live in a linear world with time and space. And that if you can somehow wrap your head around living without the confines of time and space, you can get a better understanding of how all these things can happen. And they happen all at the same time, as odd as it is. Yet, this is what the near-death experiences tell us when they do return.
Yeah, and I certainly know that we survive a physical death, but I'm also open to the suggestion that things happen at random. In other words, it wasn't planned.
Right.
You have your child dies, but whether or not their purpose was served, they progress to another realm. And they continue to progress in these other realms when they didn't have may not have had a chance to progress here, and also they have their perspective and looking back in the physical totally differently.
Well, I think where you see that is the near death experiences that come back and they say that they've been given a choice. Some of them have said, no, I met up with somebody on the other side who said, turn around, it's not your time, you have to go back. But then there were other near death experiencers who said that the near-death experiencer had a choice. You can decide to go back, or you can fully cross over at this point. It's up to you. So,
well, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have some answers to some of these questions that we've been talking about and a lot more. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Stafford Betty. Our sponsor is Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson, and she can be reached via phone at 631-862-1402. Bob?
And Dr. Stafford Betty is a professor of religious studies at California State University in Bakersfield. His research interests have led him to becoming a world expert in afterlife studies. Among his main academic interests are the philosophy of religion, paranormal studies, spirituality and mysticism, religion and science, and the mind-body problem. In his book, which is called Afterlife Unveiled, What the Dead Are Telling Us About Their World, Dr. Betty has assembled what he believes to be the most significant accounts of channeled information about the afterlife. And I might also mention that we'll have the honor of having Dr. Betty at our upcoming conference in Phoenix in a few weeks. So welcome, Dr. Betty.
Oh, it's good to be here, Bob. Thanks for the invitation.
And I guess a good place to start, when we talk about the afterlife, and of course one of your expertise is in formal religions, and I noticed that just about every religion has a belief in the afterlife. I mean, it varies about with each individual belief system. But didn't a belief in an afterlife actually predate formal religion?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we know that from the cave paintings, going back at least 50,000 years. Yes.
We can't pin that purely on formal religion as
no. We certainly can. Yeah. I wouldn't think there was any formal religion back then.
No. Your book has a lot of accounts that were channeled through trance and physical mediums as opposed to mental mediums, and we find that most people are familiar with mental mediums, and they provide evidence of survival, but very rarely do they provide information about what an afterlife is like. So
yeah.
What are the differences between the mediums that received communicated information in your book versus some of the mental mediums today?
Well, you're right. Most of the mediums that Americans are familiar with are the kinds of mediums that we see on television. John Edward being probably the most notable. And what he does is to put people in contact with their loved ones. And generally, there's a lot of consolation that comes from that type of communication from the other side to this side. But there have always been a minority of these mediums who came back not to console the living, but simply to describe their condition on the other side, feeling that if we here understood better what we were headed for, our lives would be much more meaningful, and indeed, world society would be better for having that knowledge. And so, I would say that I've maybe read as many as 25, 30 accounts coming from those kinds of mediums describing their world. I've read so many of those accounts that the next one that I pick up is going to almost surely be repetitious of the ones I've read before, which indicates to me that there really is a place over there that people actually, that the deceased or spirits are actually living in. It's a very exciting and interesting world, I must say.
Mm. And I guess when you first started assembling all these various accounts of an afterlife,
yeah,
what struck you were the similarities in the descriptions.
Yes, indeed, it was. And if that had not been the case, if they were all wildly different, I would have thought, well, these are just hallucinations, and hallucinations are always wildly different. They're very peculiar to the individual whose experience they come out of. But that's not the case at all. They are remarkably similar, which makes me think that they're describing a real place.
Yeah. And now, in your work as a professor at the university, I know you teach a very popular course on death and the afterlife. And
right.
I'm curious, are you treated as a rogue professor, or
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I am, a rogue professor. Absolutely. There's no way that I would be here if I weren't already tenured and full professor. They would have gotten rid of me a long time ago, I can assure you, Bob. That's a shame, too, because what I do, I mean, the typical professor out here looks upon me as a person who's a throwback to an early time. And that's just exactly the opposite of the way I feel about myself. I think I'm just way ahead of the curve. And these people are stuck in an old materialism that's about to give way. And enough research is being done by people like me and people like Eben and plenty of other people, first-rate research that is taking us well beyond materialism and is showing, in other words, I have a sense that materialism is almost on the ropes. And it's just going to be a matter of maybe a few decades before smart people begin to open up and happily admit that they have seen the light and have graduated from that old worldview.
Mm. Now, what about the reaction or the reception that you get from the students on the other side of the coin? I mean, they have, you know, I mean, the same sort of skepticism with some of them, or do they seem to embrace the topic more?
There's skepticism in very few of them. Most of them are simply fascinated by what they discover from me, this new world that they've never dreamed of before. They, you know, many of them come out of one conservative tradition or another, and very little that's palatable or makes much sense about the afterlife is to be found in these traditions. And when they hear the world described by these spirits speaking through these world-class mediums, they're fascinated. And when we start talking about this stuff, you can hear a pin drop. And so, yes, the reception is just as good for my students as it is bad for my colleagues.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about the afterlife, a lot of people immediately would have a certain image, and maybe because of their religion, they'll say, "Oh yeah, heaven is where you spend all your time floating on clouds and playing harps." And I would imagine that kind of existence is troubling to a lot of such believers. It doesn't sound like a very interesting place to be. It's almost as bad as being in the other place they believe in.
I know it is. It certainly is equally boring.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want, as one person put it, you wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes on Earth doing those things.
Right.
So why should we think that we'd enjoy it for eternity once we do it over there?
Right.
It's pretty absurd. And so what my book does, and not just my book is not unique. There have been several other books that put this information together, too. And what they all show is that the world ahead of us is incredibly fascinating. And it is not divided into heaven and hell, black and white, and not even with purgatory thrown in between by Catholics. It's much more complex than that and vastly more interesting. And it's just a shame that so few people have read the literature coming from the spiritual world. Because if they did, and they took it seriously, and I think most people who discover this literature do take it more or less seriously, they would think, wow, what an incredible adventure we're on. This is just the beginning, and that is a wonderful way to live one's life.
And we were talking a little bit about this before. A lot of people, so they're based upon their personal experiences and based upon perhaps what they've read and researched, they've come to a conclusion in their own minds that, yes, you know, there is an afterlife. But yet what people seem to have a hunger for, because we get asked these questions all the time, is,
yeah,
okay, there's an afterlife, but what is it like? You know, what do you wear clothes? You know, do you live in houses, eat
right.
food? You know, so can you give any insight? I'm sure you get these questions constantly. Do you perceive it as a world of a realm of thought where you could manifest pretty much what you want to manifest?
Well, let me just read the first two short paragraphs from the summary of my book. Actually, there are 44 points that are made in the conclusion, and these points come from a careful analysis of what I've studied and learned from the seven spirits that I've read in depth and that are treated in the previous chapters in the book. Just these two summaries will give you a sense of how different the world is from the way it is so poorly presented in the scriptures of the world. Here's the first one. The afterworld is not some fantastic vision of infinity where souls are locked in poses of permanent rapture gazing at the face of God. As I learned as a little boy, incidentally, as a Catholic boy growing up, you know, it's all about the beatific vision. Well,
right.
It's not that way. No one floats on a cloud while playing a harp. Rather, it is a place with landscapes and seas and houses and cities reminiscent of our own world, a material world, but of higher vibration, insensible to us earthlings. There are gardens, universities, libraries, and hospices for the newly dead, but no factories, fire stations, sanitary landfills, or smokestacks. There are no dirty jobs to do. We have no traffic, and our roads are covered with the thickest and greenest grass, as soft to the feet as a bed of roses. It is on these that we walk, on a bed of fresh moss, I should say. It is on these that we walk, says Monsignor Hugh Benson. All accounts describe a world of exquisite natural beauty. Now, that's for the soul who is prepared and ready and deserving of such a place. there are darker places and realms, but nothing like an eternal hell such as we find in the religions of Christianity and Islam. The second point is this. The afterworld begins at the Earth's surface and extends outward. Earth is the nucleus of the entire world system that the spirits describe. The spirit world begins very near the Earth and extends millions of miles beyond, writes Leslie Stringfellow. It surrounds yours on all sides, like the atmosphere does the globe, and every nation has its counterpart in spirit, surrounding it in connection with that part over or nearest its earthly place of residence. And so the accounts go on, and those are just that's just the beginning. So you can see how different the actual physical nature of the world to come is from the very vague sense that most of us have about its nature. It is very much a world, and it is very much a physical world, but it is not densely physical like our Earth. So the laws governing the astral physics of that world are very different from the world over here. For example, we don't have to wear clothes. There are no clothes closets over there. We project our clothing. We project our clothing with the astral bodies that we have.
And one of the descriptions that came from a spirit entity that you described in the book was describing what sounds very much what people in the physical call synesthesia, you know, where music, color, and color can give off music, and water that sparkles and flowers that give off musical tones. So, and I also noticed in some of the near-death experience reports that people report such experiences and, you know, music. So that does seem to be consistent with a lot of the afterlife evidence. You've noticed that?
It is indeed. Music seems to be the supreme art of the astral world, with most communicators noting its inspirational quality. According to Benson, one of my spirits, sound and light are coextensive, and the astral is synesthetic. Painting, dance, theater, and architecture are also prominently mentioned in these accounts. So I get the sense that the more sensitized you are to the arts, and in particular music, the more delightful the world ahead will be for us, the more comfortable we will be in it. So a good education really, I think, pays off, especially an education in the arts and in philosophy. It really pays off. We'll be more ready for the world to come if we have been well-educated here.
So I guess you're telling us that the way in which we live our physical lives will definitely affect our existence after our life.
Absolutely. There's every page of this literature talks in one way or another of accountability. So when people say, you know, if you believe in another world, that just sort of diminishes the importance and the urgency of the things we do in this world. It's just the opposite, Bob. The things that we do here have ramifications that are of immense importance to the kind of conditions that we experience in the next world. So if anything, it's just the opposite. I certainly feel a sense of calling to get serious about my life and make the best of it, and love my neighbor to the best of my ability, because it's expected of us.
And there are a lot of people that will say, well, oh, maybe there's an afterlife and maybe there's not, but it doesn't matter, and that you should just focus on the physical life and, you know, and live it the best way that you can.
Right.
But I think there's certainly more of an incentive if you know that there is some, if it affects you in other realms. So I mean, is that why we should believe in an afterlife and learn more about it?
Bob, I couldn't agree more. Let me tell you the reasons why I think that it's important and even crucial to believe in an afterlife. If you want to live here with a sense of well-being. Now, first of all, extinction is a horrible thought for most people. My students have never really thought much about this, but when I raise it, you know, their brows knit, and they look very perplexed at the thought of becoming nothing. And, you know, there's plenty of incentive in that for at least investigating the possibilities of this kind of research that I do. Also, there's the sense that, and there's the fact that justice here is far from perfect, and there are many victims of injustice here, and it does give one a sense of peace to know that there is a place where justice will finally be served. if your child has been murdered, or if your wife has had an affair with your best friend and leaves you, or a coworker has spread lies about you and ruined your reputation, you know, you feel a sense almost of desperateness that you can't do anything about it. But if you have a sense that all of this is going to be worked out in the world to come, one way or another, you can live through this much better than if you thought that this was the only world there was. And I think that's a very important reason for believing in an afterlife. So if there's no justice, you eat your heart out trying to get even. But if justice is cosmic, you can relax.
I'm sorry, this cosmic justice takes place more in the fashion of self-judgment, I would imagine, than some deity, you know, pointing to you and condemning you to some place, right?
Absolutely right. There's in none of this literature have I ever found reference to some kind of a deity sitting on a throne judging the sinners of the world. It's not that at all. It's just that our conscience is awakened to almost an excruciating extent. We will not be able to hide ourselves from ourselves. We will see what truly motivated us. We will get inside of our head, so to speak, as never before. And it is this self-judgment that will be agonizing for a certain type of person. And I think embarrassing to almost all of us, because all of us will see, oh, I could have done better than I did. On the other hand, that world is a place of immense mercy. There's never any suggestion that anyone is condemned to any particular place that there's no escape from. I would quite agree that you are the basically you're the judge and the jury and the sentencer.
Well, you know, one of the books that I know that you use in the course of your educational teachings is the Testimony of Light, and yep. Fran can tell you that she's probably responsible for the future printings of that, because she's recommended that book to hundreds of people. You know,
I would differ with Fran on that point, because I thought I was the person. I really did. I thought that I was responsible for that book going into print with a popular publisher at last. And it is in print, and it is the best book of its type that I've ever read. Fran, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the most fabulous book, and it should be required reading if you want to be a human on this planet.
I know. It is a great book. And, the only reason I don't use it in my class, as I used to, I used it for 10 straight years, is that I use my own book now, The Afterlife Unveiled. And, of course, one of the chapters contains information about that book and quotes copiously from it. But if you're going to read one account of the world to come, that's the best book to go to. It is. Fran, I'm just delighted that you and I concur on this.
Oh, yeah, you two can battle it out in Phoenix about who was responsible.
That's great.
One thing that was fascinating to me was that, and you related it in The Afterlife Unveiled, where Frances Banks, you know, communicated through Helen Greaves that she wanted to materialize to show Helen that she still existed, but she said it was beyond her power to do so.
Yeah.
So do you think that communications and materializations are learned skills from those that are in the afterlife, and perhaps with help from others?
I don't see why that would not be the case. Actually, it was reported by Ellen that Frances Banks was actually seen by a few people at her funeral. So even though Frances didn't think she could, that she was up to the task of making herself visible as a ghost at her own funeral at Exeter Cathedral in England, a few people, perhaps more perceptive than most of us, were able to see her and reported that they did see her in attendance. So, yeah, but undoubtedly, Frances could be taught the ways of making herself more presentable and more visible if she cared to do that. I don't know that normally spirits care that much about that. I think what they want to do is to send forth healing thoughts and vibrations to those they love, rather than actually make appearances for them to be seen. But there's an awful lot of talk about prayer coming from them to us, and also about the need of prayer coming from us to them. So there is commerce between these two worlds, ours and theirs.
And we are talking with Dr. Stafford Beatty. The book we're talking about is The Afterlife Unveiled, What the Dead Are Telling Us About Their World. And perhaps we can be responsible for making that go into some second and third and fourth printings.
Okay.
let's focus on that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, if you'd like to ask Dr. Beatty a question, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Stafford Betty. This show is sponsored by Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson, and she can be reached by phone at 631-862-1402. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we are sending out a big thank you to our supportive listeners who've made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we know that not everyone has extra income they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time that card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 900 online stores like QuickBooks, Radio Shack, Snapfish, and Sony, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our annual November conference is set for Phoenix, Arizona at the beautiful Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel, with a free shuttle service to and from the airport, as well as to local attractions. And this conference will be the first of its kind as an intensive interactive weekend. You still have time to grab the last few seats for November 10th and 11th with a select group of esteemed scientists answering your deepest questions about the reality of the spirit world. The weekend also features certified mediums Dave Campbell and Deborah Martin, who will be joining our panel of expert presenters, Dr. Evan Alexander, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Julie Beischel, Dr. Stafford Betty, and Dr. Claude Swanson. This conference is graciously sponsored by Starseed Gem Studios, making handmade memorial jewelry that can be seen at their website at starseedgems.com. 12-12-12, don't miss being in the right place on the most spiritual date of the year. 12-12-12 is a medium marathon featuring an evening of four extraordinary mediums, Bobby Allison, Kim Russo, Siri Bernstein, and Laura Lynn Jackson at LIUCW Post University in Brookville, New York. Seats may be reserved via the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org on the events page. And holidays past this year will be in four locations: Natick, Massachusetts with medium Joanne Gerber, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey with medium Janet Nohavik, Bethel, Connecticut with Angelina Diana, and Melville, New York with Star of Emmy-nominated TV show The Afterlife, medium Suzanne Northrup. Please visit Forever Family Foundation's website for dates, all on Saturday nights in December, and to make your reservations. The Holidays Cast raffle is up and running. There are only 266 entries now. Five lucky winners each will receive a medium reading. The mediums are Amy Utzman, Tracy Lee Nash, Nancy Marlowe, Ginger Quinlan, and Eliza Ray. Okay, Bob, we're back to you.
Okay, that was a mouthful. We've got it all in very well. We're back with Dr. Stafford Betty. He is the author of The Afterlife Unveiled, What the Dead Are Telling Us About Their World. And when we left, I know that we had a bunch of callers that were waiting to get in. Do you want to take a call?
You ready for call?
Sure.
We've got Tricia from Michigan on line three.
Hello, Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
Hi.
Hi, you're on with Dr. Betty. Did you have a question for Dr. Betty?
I did. I was wondering, basically, my daughter passed away, but she was a baby, so I would like to know, you know, if they cross over before they learn to speak or have any life experience, is it possible to, can they come through a medium, and is there a way to know that they're okay?
Yeah, how long ago did this happen?
Last year.
Oh, last year. I'm so sorry. How old was she?
She was 1 month old.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I have not read of any such visit, but one thing I can assure you, that she will be adopted over there as an orphan. It's interesting that we have orphans in reverse in such cases. Her parents didn't die, but she died before her parents, and she is well taken care of and loved, and she will grow up over there in that world, according to the accounts that I've read. She will at some point be able to make contact with you if you desire that, but my sense is that that's not possible now. Or if it is, it's not something I've read about, Tricia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can maybe keep on my waiting list for the Long Island medium, and then 5 years from now she can maybe let me know she's okay.
One thing you can do, though, you can certainly pray for her and send your love to her. That will be felt by her in one way or another. And if she gets older, she'll be able to know who it comes from if she doesn't at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I might add, Dr. Betty, that we've experienced some of the, you know, the mental mediums that have communicated with children in similar circumstances. I guess the theory being that, you know, on the soul age, in terms of our physical, you know, age, but she might be a quite different story in spirit. And
excellent.
According to the mental mediums, they have made some contact. So
excellent. Absolutely, that makes perfect sense. I forgot about that. These souls, if reincarnation is true, might be very old and quite very much their adult selves once they pass.
Yeah.
Yes, Tricia, I take all back what I said. I really overlooked that.
Okay.
They're both pieces of information.
They're called mental mediums?
Well, mental mediums, you know, what Dr. Betty has written about in this book, there are these extraordinary trance and physical mediums that are able to channel, you know, wisdom from spirit entities. The mental mediums that you're familiar with, such as, you know, Teresa Computo and you know, and John Edward and so forth, and mm-hmm. people that are on a certified medium list, most of them are mental mediums in that they communicate telepathically with spirit entities. They don't get as much in the way of channeled descriptions about what the afterlife is like, but they get bits of evidence to show you that your loved ones are still very much alive. So I thank you for calling in, and
thank you very much.
Right. Take care. Okay.
Bob, thanks for the clarification. Absolutely. So Tricia would not be making contact with a 1 month old baby. She'd be making contact with an old soul who happened to have passed away after 1 month in her latest journey.
Yeah, it's very likely that I think that's the case. When we talk about reincarnation, I noticed that there's varying opinion in some of the channeled reports. Some seem to believe that everybody reincarnates, and some say that some people do, and some I've even read that don't believe in reincarnation.
You're right.
What's your feeling about it? Do you think that everybody reincarnates, or that there's a choice?
Yeah, it's incredibly complicated. I'm not at all sure that there are not new souls that start out as humans and are living their first life on the earth, and if that's the case, they have not reincarnated. They would be young souls, to put it bluntly. Now, there are a few mediums who don't believe in reincarnation. And when I say mediums, I'm talking about mediums like Susie Smith, probably the most notable denier of reincarnation. All I can say is that she is very much in the minority, and why she thinks that way, I don't know. I suppose that her spirit, the spirit that she works with, has that opinion, and it may well be that there are certain spheres on the other side, certain worlds, because the other side is a is a gathering of many, many worlds, many, many sectors, and it may well be that certain sectors don't subscribe to reincarnation. Maybe certain Christian sectors don't believe in it, and therefore souls that are over there are very unlikely to reincarnate, at least anytime soon, until they maybe wise up and go to another sector and learn another option. So there are a number of ways of looking at that. One of the most interesting books is one that was written by a spirit who was, a Lutheran minister. And in the first book that was published by this collaboration between this Lutheran minister, A.D. Mattson, and the medium, there was no reference whatsoever made to reincarnation. In the second book, published 20 years later, there was a confession that all of the messages coming from the other side dealing with reincarnation had been left out of the first volume because there was fear that that information would unsettle the Christian readers. So it just goes to show that it may well be that reincarnation is the game plan over there. My suspicion is that it is, but I also am quite sure that reincarnation is not a requirement if you are ready to move on into higher, more evolved worlds. And I hope I'm one of those types and don't have to come back to the earth plane right. Unless I would want to out of motivations of generosity.
Right. You know, you mentioned an existence with this different world. I think you even mentioned, you know, spheres. So
yep.
is that common that I guess you would call it different levels of existence? And do we tend to progress
Yeah. It's not only common, it's ubiquitous. You don't find any account that doesn't refer to higher worlds. The world that most of us will end up soon after we die is a relatively low astral plane. There will be many, many worlds far more evolved than that we will gradually move up toward. It may well be that we can go directly into the next level, or it may well be, depending on our readiness, that we will have to come back for more lessons back on Earth before moving ahead. But there are many options. But the general contour is upward. It may take a long time. It may take eons. There may be many reincarnations between those levels along the way. But eventually, the game plan, the universe, wants us to move ahead. And anyone who wants to and wants to work at that and is, you might say, spiritually ambitious enough to give it a chance can do so.
Yeah, you know, one of the communicators that you wrote about in The Afterlife Unveiled said something to the effect that the Earth world has the spirit world to thank for all of the major scientific discoveries. You know, so it makes you wonder when we talk about, you know, telepathic communications, just how much of what we think are our own ideas are actually coming from the spirit world.
You know, it's interesting, but quite a few of the romantic the great romantic composers like Schubert and Brahms, even Beethoven, you know, wondered about this very thing. And it was Brahms who most decisively said that his best ideas came, as he put it, from God. He had a direct sense that he was simply a receiving set for his best musical ideas. They were coming from the world of spirit. And I listened carefully to people who talk that way. They know what they're talking about. And I suspect that that's true, that many of the great inventions have come from the other side, just as the spirits claim. They take credit for many of the great inventions that have eventually worked their way down to this relatively low level.
Yeah, and perhaps that's the way that they progress, by helping those of us here.
Precisely so. One of the things that's very clear from that wonderful book by Helen Greaves is that we progress by serving each other. We are always in the business of serving, not only in this world, ideally, I mean, that's what we're called to do, but we're called to do it on the other side, too. Not yeah. just to people, to other spirits, and there is an enormous room for service, but also serving those down here below, as perhaps happened in the Brahms case. Sure.
Correct. Well, we have been talking with Dr. Stafford Betty. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time here. Boy, that doesn't come out right when
in this
conversation. the book is The Afterlife Unveiled, What the Dead Are Telling Us About Their World. If you're looking to learn more about what happens to us when we reach that other side, I recommend you pick up this book. It's just chock full of information that you can use to perhaps better your own life. So,
or they can come to the Phoenix Conference, meet Dr. Betty, get a book signed.
That's right, and meet the one and only professor in the flesh. So, Dr. Betty, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you soon, and I hope you'll join us again on the radio.
Thanks so much, Bob. Thank you, Fran. It's been delightful.
Thank you. It's been
thank
wonderful.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners, please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Glenna Irwin, Barbara Petillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, CJ, Eileen LaFada, Mark Barron, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Nancy Scheel, Barbara Russell, Diane Archangel, Paul Smith, Kay Torpy, Angelina Diana, Deb Martin, Tina Diana Jocelyn, Jerry Diana, and the De Leon family. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masaru Emoto. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.